Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. This is Larry. Not too bad. I got some bird dogs going that are going to start. One's going to start Wednesday. The other one has not. They said they want to do it, but then they haven't replied after I gave them all the criteria. So they're probably a no. But one said they'll start Wednesday morning. So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
How many should I have going at once?
However many can bring in the leads your business needs. How's that for an open-ended answer?
Perfect.
Yeah, honestly, there's no formula.
Okay.
Sometimes one person will get it done. Other times it'll take three or four. Just depends.
Okay.
But yeah, the first goal out of the gates is 250. And obviously you're free to go way beyond that, but we know that at 250 leads, skip trace them, there are multiple contracts in there. No question.
Yeah, that would get the ball rolling for
Go beyond 50, go beyond 100. So 250 is a nice number that, like I said, multiple deals, and then as busy as you want to be. So yeah, could be one bird dog might take you five.
Okay.
Yep.
So other than that, everything's going good. So right now.
Good stuff. Hal, you want to jump in?
Yeah. My gal started Thursday.
Yeah.
Colin.
Yep.
I gave her about 100 leads. I had more, but I gave her about 100. She got one on Thursday. I went and looked at it, but it's wouldn't quite work. I thought maybe it would, but it wouldn't. But
what didn't
got
work
one
about
prior.
It?
Well, it was it had an extra lot with it, but it was you couldn't get to it. It was back behind her property. It had a huge half acre lot in a zip code that's pretty good. But her house was all broken down. The numbers just didn't work, and she wasn't realistic. She was an old lady. And kind of like me, but the one I got on Friday was three doors up from where I have a house now, and I was going to write the contract today. I'm writing the contract on it tomorrow, and I may have somebody interested in it already. Numbers are real good on it. Well, it's let's see. I just did a whole thing on it. I'm going to try and buy it for 40, sell it for 60. Bought for 45 because I have to pay $10,000 worth of taxes on it. And sell it for 60. That don't sound right either. It's 40 plus 10. So I have 50 in it. I'll sell it for 60 and make 10. I was hoping to make 15, but the numbers as far as rehab are really good because it's going to take the comps in the area are $138 a square foot. It's 1,444 square foot, so it comes in at almost $200,000. And all the comps in the area, when it's done, it'll look better than the comps. And
so why do you think you can't make 15 on it? How much does it need in fix up?
About 63,000. Oh, well, it's still, even at that, it'll make somebody $51,000, $52,000 in profit. What's funny is this new contractor that I have who builds new houses, I showed it to him on Saturday, and he said, I think they ought to tear it down. I don't think he knows. He may know a lot about new houses, but he don't know a whole lot about rehabbing, apparently.
Yeah,
Because the structure's good. Yeah, it's when you walk through it, it's got a whole dumpster worth of stuff in it, but that don't bother me at all.
That's par for the course, right? Only one dumpster?
Maybe a dumpster and a half, but we'll see.
Yeah, still, that's normal.
But yeah, it's very normal. But what I wanted to ask you about is because one reason this guy's ready to go.
Mark Holker.
I would like to make it. I got a couple ideas on making an offer, and I was just going to ask you if I could talk to you in the morning or sometime, and before I go see this guy and run it by you.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
What you want to talk about it now?
Yeah.
Well, okay. I was thinking about making him a couple different offers on it. One was a low offer, if I got it, because he wants to close by the 15th of the month, which gives me 3 weeks, maybe a little about 3 weeks, 16th of the month. Or offering low money, or offering a little bit more if I could have like a month and a half, because I know I could move it in a month and a half for probably make easy $20,000 on it. Because
yeah, I like it.
You know, because 52,000 right now. I'm looking at I got this. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but I've had it for years. Rehab Evaluator, and I love their report that they print out. It's like a 4-page. You can put all the comps. You can put all the pictures on it, everything. It's something you can hand out, give to somebody. I've been using it for years on and off, and it shows everything you can do. You know, this is a cash deal, of course, but most guys that I, when we try to rehab, we try to average $40,000 a house.
Right.
Sometimes you can make more, sometimes less, and so 51, this is almost 52,000 at the stuff I got on here. It should be a no-brainer for somebody, for the right guy.
Right.
So I don't know.
I don't mind that strategy. All they can say is no.
Yeah, that's what kind of what I was thinking, because you know he might. It'd give me a little longer since it's my first one to find somebody. I don't think I'm going to have a hard time finding it or selling it at all. But it's in an area. My house is three doors down, and it's going to be. Mine's a little bit bigger. I paid a lot more for it, but it had a lot of stuff done to it. All right, it had a lot of sheetrock and electrical and stuff done, and I paid a ton more than that. But I'll still make money. So I think I'm just gonna make him two different offers. I had them printed up actually. I'm gonna change them a little bit. And
perfect. Just explain the scenario. Say, hey, you want this is a. This is negotiation 101. If you're going to give something, then get something. Okay?
Yeah.
So he made the request about the quick close. Say, you know, you got to come at it and say that, honestly, that, you know, that makes things a little tight. I think I can still get it done for you, but I tell you what, you know, you want that close date. Here's what I can pay. If you can give me a little more time, I can give you a little more money. And that way you're both either giving, right? You're both either giving something up, you're giving up date, he's giving up money, or you're both getting something. He's getting more money, you're getting more time.
Yeah.
So just,
that makes,
if you're going to give, if you're going to give something, get something.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. In fact, I wanted to tell you too, my gal, I think she's going to be really good. But when she first called, the guy said, well, make me an offer right now. Make me an offer. And of course, she said, let me have my guy call you back after a while. And he said, well, call back at 4 o'clock and we'll find out what we can do. When she called back at 4 o'clock to make me an appointment, he said, I changed my mind. I'm not going to sell it. So she said, how y'all call this guy anyway, which I was going to. And I called him up and I said, I understood, you know, you were thinking about selling it and you're not now. And he said, well, I had an offer from a friend of mine here a couple months ago. And he said, he might give me this and might give me that. He even told me what he was going to give him, and which helped me a little bit. But then when I told him, oh, you know, I'm pretty sure I can do better than that. Well, then he got real warmed up, of course.
Right.
And, you know, like I told you, I did this for 11 years, so it felt really good getting back into it. I can't tell you. I almost jumped up and down after I got off the phone with this guy, knowing that I can still do it. So,
you're wired that way. It's a little adrenaline hit, right?
That is a big adrenaline hit. I haven't felt that good in months after dealing with
all these
contractors, you know. So tomorrow I got an appointment.
That's
tomorrow.
The thing. If you're good at it and if you want to do it, that's the thing about your business is you can, you know, pull the other pieces of the puzzle in and the other personnel. But that's something that you don't ever have to completely let go of if you don't want to. Your salesperson's tied up. And they say, hey, I'm double booked. Both these people need a call at 3 o'clock. And you just say, great. You know, if that happens, let me know. I'll take one of them. However you want to handle it. But
I wanted to tell you this. Good. I wanted to tell you this one thing, too. Those particular leads were the ones I got from you guys. I know, you know, the ones that are the post office deals. Now, granted, a lot of those are wrong. I've already run across that. But it's all numbers anyway. You can make enough calls, like your guys said the other day, they're way ahead of me. You make enough calls, you're going to get some deals.
Absolutely, yeah. Your gal was on for, she's been on the phone for how many days?
Just Thursday, Friday, and today for a few hours. I got to call her back after this call, see how she's doing.
The last three or four of you that have found a salesperson and put them on the phone have all had contracts inside of like 48 hours, 72 max, when you get somebody on the phone. It just, it happens all the time. So,
yeah.
Hal, that's killer. Yeah, I like your idea. Two different offers. You said you may already have somebody interested. How did that come about?
My real estate agent has got a gal or got a guy that has got some money and he's kind of looking in that area. And she said,
yep.
I might just, so she's just going to have to add whatever she wants to it.
Yep.
You know, because I'm not paying any commission on it.
Hey, are you looking for another flip deal or you're tapped?
What, for me, you mean?
Yeah, do you need another flip? I mean, you have a house three blocks away.
Well, you know, look, it's my brother-in-law, and right now we're at like $2 million, and he just tied his bark on a tree. I'm not even telling him about this. In fact, I told him.
Here's what I'm going to tell you.
Well,
here's the thing. If you end up taking it down, and this is a good deal, I still want you to get paid a wholesale fee because you deserve to. So what you need to do is flip it to a second entity, pull the money in with your brother-in-law, flip the deal, but your acquisitions company needs to get paid 10 grand on the front end. So I'm just throwing that out there. This is in your wheelhouse. When you are wholesaler, this is right up your alley. You get to pick and choose who does what with which deal. And you already have, I mean, you know, I'm only bringing this up because you have a full-time fix and flip business, so that's another option on the table. But it doesn't mean that you forego the wholesale fee if you decide to take the house down.
Well, yeah, no, that's been our disagreement with my brother-in-law, is he doesn't want me making a wholesale fee on anything, but he doesn't.
Yeah, see, that's
I'm not getting a management fee or nothing. I'm just getting 50% on the back, and that ain't right.
Yep. Nope. Your acquisitions company has done work, has paid money, has put in time, energy, and effort, and deserves to get paid. And the acquisitions company is the piece that's feeding the whole operation that gets him paid. So let me tell you this. I get it. This is family. That can be unique. When Rob set up that $10 million fund back in – it kicked off May 1st, 2008. One of the questions that the fund manager asked about is – how are you guys getting paid on this? And Rob explained to it that we're going to get a wholesale fee, a construction management fee, and a, what did they call it? It was like $1,500 paper pushing, although it had a more official title than that. And that is what landed the deal, ultimately. And Rob has talked about it on multiple occasions at training events. He said that's what landed the deal. The fund operator knew up front that if Rob's company wasn't getting paid, none of this would work. Because they were the goose that was laying the right, bringing in the deals. And so when Rob laid that out, the fund manager looked at it and said, yep, that's perfect. You're not getting paid. None of this works. He didn't vocalize it, but he knew that that was the key piece. So, yeah, speaking, you know, I mean, you've got an ongoing thing with your brother-in-law, which is fine. You know, part of me tells you to double.
But I mean,
to double close it. So,
well,
that wouldn't be right either.
Yeah, this deal won't go through my brother-in-law. I wish
okay.
We kept it because we'd make money. But the other thing I did last week was I told you here I want to start my own fund, and I had an hour and a half conference call with my attorney. That's Securities and Exchange. We're not going to go with IRA money to start with. We're just going with a fund, and he's putting it together right now because it just makes more sense. If I had the money right now, I would buy this thing and rehab it myself for the money that's in it because I got the people to do it now. But you know,
and
that's okay.
You make sure you can still run because you have construction management in place. So you can still run acquisitions, run your sales team, run your leads, get paid your wholesale fee, and then get paid after the fix and flip too. So this is why you want to be wholesaler. You control the whole thing.
That's
where you want to sit. So
that's why I called you guys. Yeah, that's all I had. Okay.
Yeah, that's, yeah, you say that's all, but that's killer. So this is just another story about, hey, I've got leads. Nobody's calling them. I found a salesperson. 48 hours later, here we go. That's why it's so important that you find somebody, get them on the phone. And here's the thing. You don't have to find somebody. It's either you get on the phone and call the leads or find somebody to get on the phone and call the leads. Those are the two options. Find a salesperson and how you're wired to do sales, right? You've already told us that. But find somebody with the right personality to get on the phone. It's not magic. It just works. So good stuff. Yep. Great update.
Thank you.
Who else is on? Who's on first?
Who's on third?
I'm on
third. No, I don't know who's on third. John, you sent an email with working five contracts, so I'm just going to have you jump in.
Well, that's kind of rude. Somebody's before me, but I'll do it real quick. Yeah, I think I mentioned it last time I was on the phone. This guy lives in Washington State. He's just ready to be done with his properties. He had five here in Birmingham, and he got rooked by some turnkey investor here that is kind of like, you know, well, he got taken. So, but what I did was I've got a burnout that can probably be fixed. I got it under contract for $1,000. Another house that's really crappy, but it's got 12, 15-foot weeds around it. I got it for $2,500. And then a house that's rented for $700 a month. I got it under contract for $14. And then two other vacant houses that the tenants moved out about 6 months ago that really don't look too bad. And probably need just maybe a unit and some interior work. And I got those for $7,500 each.
Jesus.
So there you go. And they'll rent for $750, those two.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. So is paperwork on all five in place, or you're still working on it?
I'm waiting on him to execute the contracts and send them back. So, but
okay, so you,
but when
you
I was on the phone, I probably could have said $5,000. He may probably would have agreed with it, man. I don't know. It's crazy. But he's just ready to be done with it, man. So
love it.
And I told him what I was doing. Pull up, you know, straight up, and told him.
Yep.
And get this, I have a 45-day contract with a 21 business day inspection period on each one.
Yep. Perfect.
So that's
it. Where did you originally find this guy?
He's the guy who opted in on my website and filled out.
Okay.
You remember I said that I thought it was duplicates, and he entered each one of his properties. He took the time to enter each one. So
yeah.
And he's already ready to pay for a locksmith on the two I need to get in real bad, and he's going to pay for the weeds to be cut down.
That's awesome.
And,
it's amazing what happens when you find some motivation, right?
I couldn't believe it, man. It's just too easy.
That's awesome. Are all five vacant?
Except for there's one rented at $700. It just got rented out in June. So.
Okay.
But yeah, the others are vacant. Yes, sir.
So. That's killer. I'll be curious to see if you find. I'm wondering if your fund won't. Do you think the numbers on these will work to sell them all five?
One of the funds, these are neighborhoods they don't buy in. So,
okay.
And there's another fund that does, but I'm going to take a quote from the guy, but they're just such a pain to deal with, and they want 10-day inspection periods and all this other stuff. And
yeah.
And if I can go through it and make money and sell it faster, I'm not going to fool with them, but I'm just going to – just give them a carrot and see what they say.
Yeah. Cool.
Would
they ever take something that says, you guys want 10 days? Great, I'll give you 10 days. But if I have a fully executed contract inside of those 10, I want the right to move it to somebody else. Would they go for that?
They'll try to play hardball because they think that we wholesalers really need them real, real bad. And they just...
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'll send him a property, and he may not respond for a week sometimes when I need an answer right away.
Yeah.
And they just, they deal with who they want to, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. But,
man, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good.
The guy doesn't even know what the property is. I've sent him exterior pictures, and did drive-bys, you know, but he doesn't. He just got taken to the cleaners, man. Terrible.
Yeah.
But that's it, man. So.
In comes Superman to the rescue.
Yeah, well, I told him, I said, you know, if you're dealing with a bunch of other wholesalers, I need to know, because I don't want to, you know, waste my time helping you out here. So he said, nah, man. He said, I'm ready to get out.
Yeah, good question, too, by the way. Make sure you're the only deal on the table.
Yeah, if I had it happen to me before, believe me.
Yeah.
So,
good stuff.
Good, man.
Good stuff. You got my Whoa Nelly email reply?
Yeah, I got it. I answered back.
So I got to, I've been talking to John a little bit outside office hours here about, you know, our performer program, and we got an invite going to him and that kind of thing. And, you know, I push on John, and a lot of you have heard it on here. We push and we push and we push and, you know, push for results. And so his email said, "Whoa, Nelly." Now, I'm not busting your chops, John, but I basically replied and said, there's no "Whoa, Nelly" going on. So, and you know, this is with everybody. You hired us to push, right? And so that's what we're here for. So you just expect it and know it. It's always going to be, hey, that's great what you did, but where are we going next? And, you know, keep your foot on the gas and stay on top of it and keep things moving. And that creates everybody, you, me, all of us, we like comfort. That's where we naturally go. But the whole point of a program like this is to create discomfort, because discomfort creates action. So, you know, we've been, I'm just making it, you know, some of our conversation a little public, and I know John won't mind that, but we're always going to push. And that, you know, that's really our role, is to say, hey, here's where you're at. Step on it, ramp it up, drive more leads, get another salesperson on board. And you know, that's why we're here. That's what you brought us on for. So anyway,
true.
You know,
true that.
Expect it. We're always going to be what's next. And that, you know, that's the whole point of it. So anyway.
Well, that's real easy. Just like you said, that's been I've always fallen back, you know, get one or two under contract and just kick back and say, yeah, I'm okay for a month or two, blah, blah, blah. So,
yep.
You know, I've got two in escrow now, and then this came up, and so now I'm going to have hopefully five more, and so that I can do five more after that and five more after that. So,
it's
pretty motivating, actually.
I challenged him to say, and you've been really open, John, with the group about what you just said. I get a couple under contract. Yeah, that covers me for the next few months. And you kind of chill out. And that's the mindset. First of all, it's a really normal mindset. So you're not out on a limb here. That's normal. But what happens is then it's hard to find a couple deals, or you go through a dry spell, and then you start thinking, holy crap. You know, and then the tension starts to rise, and then, you know, it's like this roller coaster.
Yeah.
It's this roller coaster investor lifestyle where, you know, one month you have money, one month you don't, then you have it, then you don't. And so it's really about identifying and understanding what causes it, putting systems in place, which this is why you want a hungry salesperson who is, if you're short on leads, you want them sending you an email saying, I need somebody to call now. Get me some leads. And then you want somebody that's effective on the phone, and they just keep bringing deals, because that they're trying to get paid. That's how you can implement a system that keeps, you know, keeps the foot on the gas for the entire business when that's going. And so, John, you said you'd have a salesperson last week, and it's Monday. Where are we at?
Yeah. We have three that we're calling and haven't called them yet.
Okay.
A D,
get through that
a D-I-C,
process.
A D-I-C, and a D.
You need somebody on board. and you know that. Sure. But that was.
Oh, I know it. I know it, especially
when
your VA calls in sick, and that really aggravates you. So.
Yeah, he said he was working. He sent an email in that said, "Happy Monday. You know, working five deals." And basically, my reply was, "Congratulations. Five a week needs to be the norm. Let's make that the baseline, and then let's go up from there." Right.
And it can only be done, like you say. So
it can only be done when you have a full-time salesperson, because they're going to say, give me leads, give me deals to tie up, I need to get paid, and then that will create the good pressure on the rest of the business, right? There's negative pressure in business and good pressure, and we want to create more good pressure. It's still pressure, but it's a good thing to have on it, right? It's not the pressure of a lawsuit or something like that, which is super negative. It's good because it says, hey, this person's hungry and it's on me, you know, to help them produce and to feed the machine. So anyway, it's a good update.
Well, I can't find my, contract that I had drafted for my last person. I had a really nice, good contract. And I also had the pay scale thing, man. I can't find it. I don't know. Maybe it got lost on my computer that fried or something. I don't know, but I gotta find that stuff. But anyway, I can work all that out.
Yep, good stuff. You
know. All right, man.
Good stuff. Who else? Who's on? I've heard a few different names check in, but who has a question or update?
Hi, Michael. Sven, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. I'm still behind on that. I just still need to finish that. There are a few things I'm not understanding on that, on the training.
Which ones? What are they? What are your questions?
No, on the training side, I'm still trying to understand the concepts.
Which ones? Do you know off the top of your head?
The step two for the rentals.
Okay.
Rental analysis. I'm having difficulty getting through that.
Is there a specific question that you want to ask now, or do you need to email it in? I'm happy to answer it now.
I'll email it
if you
to
can
you.
Think of.
I have to go through it again and then email it to you again.
Yeah, email it in. Here's the thing: if you're working step two, you know, or newer to the program, we want to get you through step two quickly.
Right.
But knowing how to evaluate a deal is key. So we want to make sure that it's clear and I don't think it's overly difficult, but sometimes it'll take a few different explanations or videos. You might have to rewatch to pick it up. But we're really, in a nutshell, Hussein, we're after two anchors. And the two anchors that we evaluate deals off of are ARV for fix and flips and monthly rents for rentals. And right, because you can't look at a beat up house and say, what's it worth? Because levels of distress can be all over the board, right? And so what you have to do is you have to go to data for a fix and flip, and you have to say, okay, if this house in this neighborhood at this size and this many bedrooms and bathrooms is fully fixed up, what does it sell for? What is it worth there? And then from there, now you have an anchor because you have data. Now you can back out fix-up numbers and a few other things, carrying costs and that kind of thing, and come up with your offer price. So that's your anchor on a fix and flip. Your anchor on a buy and hold deal is monthly rents. Why? Because you can go to data and you can anchor it off what are similar houses renting for in the neighborhood, and from there you can run some math. So yeah, let's we need to make up some time, obviously. We've been talking about that. So if you have a couple questions, I need you to get those in tonight, and then when I get in the morning, I can get answers back to you so we can get you into lead gen at step three.
Okay.
So I don't know if Tommy and Kyle are on, but they went from they are less than a month in the program, and they're staring down 1,000 leads and two contracts. So, right, this isn't about comparison, and I'm here and somebody else is there. But what it is about is what's possible, how quick can we go, and, right, find some time to make these things happen. So if you have questions, I don't know when these questions came up, but this is for everybody. The second you have a question that needs an answer, it either happens on a Monday or a Thursday and it comes to office hours, or an email gets sent into the coaching email. All right? Don't hesitate.
Okay.
If you have a question, send it in. Multiple people in the office monitor it. We can get a reply back. All right? That's for everybody. We got to get questions answered so we can keep everybody moving forward at a good pace. So Hussein, get those questions typed out tonight. We got to get answers to you, and we'll get that figured out, all right?
Okay. Sounds good.
Good stuff. Yep. Who else?
Malik here.
Malik, what's happening?
I'm doing good. Got my first deal in Cleveland under contract.
I love it. Tell us about it. Malik, when did you come on board? About a month ago?
Yeah, about a month ago.
Nice. So you're keeping pace with Tommy and Kyle. They have 200. They got a salesperson on board Thursday or Friday, 200 contract and 1,000 leads in less than 30 days.
Wow.
But I know you're moving. I know you're moving about that pace too.
Definitely. I got my salesperson. My bird dogs, however, they're not delivering the way I want to. So I'm gonna post another ad, try to get more bird dogs on board.
Yep.
This deal came about. I had my VA just making calls from the list, and one of the owners was interested, so I called him, made an offer after I ran some of my numbers, and he accepted. I kind of felt like, damn, I could have did better than that.
So tell us, what do you have it under contract for? Is it a flip or a buy? If it's a flip, what's the ARV? If it's a buy, what does it rent for? And then what are fix-up numbers?
I did my analysis on both. If it's going to be a flip, the ARV for the flip is about $149,000. After running my numbers, I came up and I gave him an offer of $75,000, and he accepted right away. I was like,
$75,000
too quick. Yeah.
How much work does it need?
It needs about a good $20,000 worth of work.
So $95,000 and $150,000, that should still work out okay.
Just, yeah.
There's some spread in there. What does it rent for?
It rents for
$1,200.
I went on the conservative side and I used $1,100 because I saw some numbers fluctuating, so I used $1,100 for the rent.
So you have it at $75,000. What are you going to try and sell it for? Let's say I'm your buyer. I want to run this thing from my standpoint. Does it work as a rental as well?
Yes, it does. I was going to look at $85,000, sell it for $85,000.
You can try and make 10, and it needs 20.
Yeah, as far as a rental is gonna, he's gonna probably put in $8,000 as far as what the average is. $8,000 to put it in
right.
as a rental, and
it's in pretty
the
good
numbers
shape.
Worked out. Yep.
Yeah. So if I pick it up at, I pick it up from you at $85,000, put 10 in. Let's just round up. So 95, couple in closing costs. Call it 97. And then you said gross rents are $1,100.
Yeah, on the low side is $11, and the high side is $1,250.
High side is what?
$1,250 for 4.2.
Okay, so you're being conservative. So let's take $1,100 times 70%. That's $770. And then I'm going to take my 97,000.
Yeah.
Divided by 770, 126 months basically. So 10.5 years. 10.5 year return of cash, a little on the longer side, not terrible, but, and like you said, this maybe is most likely a flip, but let's see if it works for both so that you can tell the story.
All right.
Sell it. So that's return of cash. The other one is what's the return on your investment as a renter? So 770 times 12, first year net rents are 9240 divided by 97,000. 9.5% return. So it's okay as a rental, maybe better as a flip, but this is what you need to know, because as you go to wholesale this thing, you've got to know what's your message going to be.
Okay.
When you blast out a text or an email, right, you want to come across with the utmost credibility, obviously, and so you got to tell the story. If you're telling me that this is a fix and flip and I run the fix and flip numbers and they're terrible, it's a shot on your credibility. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's selling me, you know, numbers, and this, you know, this thing makes 12 grand, best case scenario. And so now I'm not so inclined to listen to what you have to say on future deals, right? You want to come out of the gate and tell a good story. So here's this is why you got to know the numbers, right? This goes back to step two. I was just talking to Hussein about, you've got to know how to run them. And the tools will do it. Freedom Soft or a spreadsheet, right, that we provide, they'll do it for you. But you've got to know, Malik, here are the numbers on this. So you get somebody on the phone and say, hey, I think this makes a great little flip. It's a decent rental, and here are the numbers. And then you can run it. Here's what it all needs, right, from a fix and flip standpoint, you know. And then when you know, as you start to build your buyers list and you know what people are looking for, now you can have a specific conversation, right? Because you're going to know. I mean, you want to be asking your buyers, especially you want to be asking all of them, where does their money come from? Are you paying cash for deals or using private money or hard money? Just come right out and ask it when you're talking to them. You got to know. And they know that you got to know. Because now you can run the deal. If somebody comes to the table and they're paying cash on a fix and flip, and I tell you, you know, I'm one of your buyers, and I say, yeah, I just buy them with my own money. And you say, right in the back of your head, you got to have a note on that because I'm not paying interest to any lender. So you can go in and run the numbers. Okay, Mike buys it for 85, puts 20 into it. That's 105. He's got some carrying costs, you know, a couple grand for closing costs, a couple grand for carrying costs, because a $20,000 rehab is going to take 30 to 45 days, and that thing's back on the market. And you know, you can run the numbers that way. If somebody says, "Yeah, I use private money," and you say, "Great, what are you paying? About 12%, somewhere in there?" And they say, "No, I have it for 10." Great, you got to note that in FreedomSoft. Create a new buyer record, put in their name right in the notes section. They have private money at 10%. Because now you can go into the deal analyzer and run it with private money at 10%. The deal's not going to look quite as good. Maybe it still works. So that's the stuff you have to know. But, yeah, you've got to tell the story on this thing. Stories sell. Facts tell, stories sell. We've all heard it. It's true. So you're going to send out, whether it's a text or an email to your buyers, or you're just going to call them. It's probably going to be all three, all the above. But you're going to get me on the phone and say, hey, Mike, I've got a deal. You know, let me tell you about this thing really quick. Here are the numbers. I'm selling it for 85. It needs about 20. You know, strong comps in the area at, $149,000. If you can know days on market for those comps, even better. You know, these all went under contract inside of 30 days, that kind of thing. But now we're talking messaging. So. Yeah, man, it's killer. So how long your salesperson came on board, and how long did it take to have a contract?
Salesperson came on last week.
A couple days.
Contract.
What day last week?
Contract was, I want to say Wednesday.
Are they full-time or part-time?
He's doing full-time. He'll take anything I can give him, so he's doing full-time.
Cool. Contract was out. You got the verbal, and then you have signed paperwork in hand?
Yeah, he just sent it back.
How long is your inspection period?
I put 45 days.
45-day inspection, and then you disclosed where you're taking it. So this sucker's ready. This thing's ready to go. So tell me, what pieces do you think you're going to use to market it? How many buyers do you know in the area? Do you have any yet? Because
I'm still calling. I'm calling, and a lot of numbers we're getting are not good numbers as far as calling out to the buyers. So we've reached about four of them. They're not interested in getting any more new properties.
Okay.
So we're still calling, trying to get some buyers in the area.
Yep. And what?
I'm
going
to run
what
to go
leads,
Section 8
what
and
leads are
see
you?
If I can get some from there.
Absolutely. So here's one of the things you can do. You can have a VA, because what you know about, if there's a property listed on Go Section 8 or Craigslist in the rental section, you know there's a landlord on the other end. So you can have a VA here's how we do it. Set up a campaign in FreedomSoft. Grab a phone number, connect them. If you don't know how to do that, obviously I'll help you with it. And then you can have a VA log in for, you know, maybe an hour a day or a couple hours,
mm-hmm.
and have them find every Section 8 landlord they can go Section 8, search out the zip code, the surrounding zip codes, and say, hey, I saw your ad for rent on Go Section 8. We have a contract for sale on a little rental. Are you still buying? So remember, you don't have a property for sale. You have interest in a property for sale, so call it what it is. We have a contract for sale. Are you still buying? And they're going to come back and say yes or no. And if yes, you've got to follow up with them and talk this deal through.
Okay.
The other thing you want to do is go to Craigslist, because this may be a better flip, although I think it can go both directions. We were conservative on the rents. So if somebody really can get $1,250, those numbers that I spit out a couple minutes ago are stronger than what we said, right? I think it could go either way. But what you're looking for...
Would it be better if I just go and use 12 instead of 11?
You know, if you're... Here's the thing. You should know both. Rents in the area are $11 to $12.50. Something like that. Say on the conservative side, here's your return of cash and your first year return on investment. If we go with $12.50, you're getting your cash back. You know, here's what the numbers look like. And that way, when you explain it like that and that comes out of your mouth, I'm on the other end thinking, hey, cool, this guy knows how to run the numbers. This person knows what they're talking about, right? So you can give both. And that's why, you know, you've got to understand that analysis piece. But here's what I was going to tell you on if this is a flip and you're looking for buyers, you want to talk to buyers in the area that have a property listed. So you'll find them on Craigslist. You can go to local agents and say, here's my price. Put your commission on top of it. And what you're looking for online is anything in the area that says fully remodeled, renovated, right? You can go to realtor.com. Watch this. And I know I'm spitting a lot at you, Malik, so just take some notes here. You can go to realtor.com, plug in that city. You can even go to the zip code and look through the comments, and you're looking for a listing, a current listing that says fully renovated, newly remodeled, everything new, fixed up. Because why? That represents, that's not a homeowner, 9.9 times out of 10. That's an investor that fixed up the house and is now selling it. And so what you can now do is go to that person. It's going to be a listing agent, but you can touch base with them and say, hey, I've got a contract for sale in the area. I saw your listing on a property that was just fixed up. Is your client looking for another deal? We know it's an investor that has it listed. The property is on the market, and most fix and flip investors know that when they have one listed and sold, that's when they start looking for another one to replace it with. Make sense?
Okay. Makes sense.
This is all systems go.
Yeah. Also, I'm getting some pretty good leads from eviction. I had my VA look through county records, and we pulled up some eviction notices, some cases that are closed on eviction, and I've been calling the owners, and I've been getting great responses. So right now we're working on that.
Cool. And then where you? Oh, you said that you're letting one bird dog go and hiring another one.
The bird dogs, they're not getting back to me. Like I had three, and right now only one of them is sending me leads, and I get one here. Two here, four here, so, and then the other two, I just don't hear from them.
Yep. Yeah, so get that turned on. In the meantime, I don't mind what you're doing because you're staying busy. When you have bird dog leads, when you have vacant leads from a bird dog, skip trace, transfer your phone person back to those first.
Yeah.
Because they'll
we're just trying to keep busy because these bird dog leads, it's not coming in as fast as I want to, so we're just looking at other means to get leads.
Yeah, I like what you're doing, right? You don't take your foot off the gas. You just switch over to something else. until you have vacants in place.
Yeah.
Over the years, and Rob's generated leads just about anywhere, right? The reason we go to vacants, we talk about this frequently on office hours here, is because they produce the best. If there was another method that worked better, that's where we would start in this program. But he's tried everything for almost two decades. And vacants just, when it comes to real estate leads, vacants crush. They're just solid. So hard to find something that'll compete with them. So yeah, that's perfect. You're filling in the meantime while you get the bird dog sorted out. So
yeah.
Good stuff, man. What other questions do you have? Where else? Let me ask you this: which buyers are you skip tracing? A list source list, or did you pull them out of FreedomSoft?
Pull them out of FreedomSoft. I think I'm going to go ahead and purchase a list tonight from list source.
Yeah.
I can call
list
that.
Source is a beautiful thing. Here's the deal: FreedomSoft is pulling cash transactions. When you go to list source, it'll pull all of them.
Okay.
So I was talking to Rob. I was talking to Rob about this a couple weeks ago. You know, they buy in Memphis. They use private money. So they come to the closing table with financing. So he and Brad aren't going to show up in FreedomSoft because they're not, quote unquote, cash transactions when it gets recorded. And, you know, if you're selling in Memphis, you want to know about Rob and Brad, right? Because they're legit buyers. So that's where the FreedomSoft list is great, but that data is limited to cash transactions. And you absolutely want to know about the buyers in the area that are using private and hard money, because they can be just as legit. So,
right.
Good stuff, man. What else? This is full on go time. And what's cool is you have a salesperson, so you can focus on the dispositions piece, getting this moved, and keep them on the phone, obviously, which I know you will. And they'll just, you know, they'll start teeing up more.
Oh yeah.
Do you have a weekly goal with them yet on offers made and contracts received?
We had a meeting today to set everything up for him. I set his goals, go over FreedomSoft and any questions he had. So we went over that today. We had a long 2.5-hour meeting. So he's really familiar with everything now. So the first goal, I told him, you know, get me five a week. I guess that's the magic number. If you can get me five a week,
love it.
That would be gold right there. His daily goal is to make five offers a day.
Yep. And that'll do it. That should do it. Obviously, you're going to be tracking what's going on, but you, at the end of the day, that's the stat, right? And you can explain that to your salesperson. The number one stat, what you want are deals under contract, but you don't focus on the result. You focus on what achieves the result, and that's offers made. And so that's the right place to focus.
Yeah.
You focus on the offers being made. And when that number, you'll see results at one offer a day. You'll see a bunch at two. Things will really pop at five offers a day if you guys can really – not. I shouldn't say if. When you – right, you start hitting that goal, it will not take very long for this thing to start moving. So the other thing, too, is you need to be thinking in the back of your head, dispositions person, because this is going to turn into, you know, organizing the deals, getting the information out, following up with buyers, getting earnest money collected. All of those things are going to fall on your shoulders until you get somebody else in place. And that, right, your salesperson takes that serious and starts making five offers a day. You're going to, I wouldn't say you're going to be overwhelmed, but you're going to be really, really busy here in the near future. So be thinking ahead.
Looking forward to that.
Absolutely. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Just a reminder, and I know you're aware, but you have to work in the business, and then you got to get up to 10,000 feet and say, okay, where are we headed? What do I need? What do I need to get in place now for, you know, 10 to 14 days down the road? So,
yeah.
Yep, good stuff. And when you're on with buyers, it's a very simple question. Hey, man, I've got a contract for sale. Do you have money that needs to be placed in the next 30 days? What's your exit strategy? Do you buy to hold, or you know, what are you looking for? Are you a landlord? Do you buy to hold, or do you buy a flip? Are you doing fix and flips? And based on their answer, this is why you got to have your numbers down.
Mm-hmm.
You say, I do fix and flips primarily. Great. Let me tell you about this little house, 123 Main Street. selling it for 85, bam, 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 comps all day long at 150. This is a quick little project. You know, I'm assuming that you have crews that are ready to rock and roll. You've been doing this for a little bit. Perfect. This thing only needs 20 grand. You know, what does that take your guys, about 30 days to knock out a $20,000 scope of work? Something like that, right? And you're selling the deal. That's what it's going to take. Talk it through. You know the numbers. Sell the deal. All right?
Okay.
Good stuff, Malik. Love it. Anything else?
That's it for now. If anything else come up, I'll shoot you an email.
Yeah, I want to buy her on this thing by Thursday. Can you make that happen?
I will do my absolute best.
I will do my absolute best leaves a little out. I'm okay. I'm not going to bust your chops about it, but the correct answer was yes, I will.
Okay, I'll go with the correct answer, not the politically correct answer.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, man, this is how momentum gets created, and it's not – momentum takes work, but once it's there, man, it's easier to keep it moving, right? Everybody knows that. Your car does all the work going from 0 to 70, and then it'll just stay there with very little effort, and it's no different in business. Keep your foot on the gas, and I know you will.
That's good stuff.
And get those bird dogs too. You're working with slightly lesser leads, even.
Yeah.
So,
I have less
leads. Get those good vacant leads turned on with skip tracing data. And this sucker's ready to blow. Prepare for rain. So that's right where we want you. Good stuff. Who else?
Mike.
Yeah.
Tommy.
Hey, Tommy.
How are you?
Good. I was just talking about you. Did you hear me? I was giving you a high five.
I heard. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I really don't. I mean, the updates I can just give to everybody, but I think you know the most of it. But I'll just kind of give a quick rundown. We are now at 2 contracts, both been sent out to be signed. We've been on the phone with buyers. Last week, I feel like our momentum that we wanted to keep pushing kind of slowed, but we are still making momentum. We kind of hit a lot of hiccups last week, and like I told you in my email, you have to prepare for them, expect those, because I think if everything goes smoothly, that there's something not right.
You have to expect it. We talk about it on right everybody's orientation call. Expect frustration, setbacks, whatever, but you did what you do. You push through. Things happen.
So initially we hired 3 salespeople. One of them never even got off the ground. That was rather comical. And then the second one you talked about terminating because he was comical. He had 310 leads and the trash can is dead. So we've been going back through and pulling. And just today alone, I think I pulled 20 leads that could have been follow-up and sent to like an email campaign.
Yep.
And then that's really about it, I mean, that I have for anyway. I did have a few questions about I lost my questions. I lost my train of thought. Nope, I think you already answered them with the email about the buy. Go ahead.
Yep, I want to talk through your deals a little bit really quick here, but I want to bring this up. This is a massive win that you hired a salesperson, your gut told you right away this is a bad fit, and you didn't wait 90 days to do something. You knew what to do, and then through an email and office hours, right, we just reinforced, this person's going to be a problem. I know it's not comfortable, but, you know, cut bait now and move on, right?
Right, right.
And that's what you did, and that is a massive win. Why? Because moving forward, you got through it. It's uncomfortable to let anybody go. Nobody enjoys it. It's always an awkward conversation, and it's an easy conversation to avoid. But what's going to happen is now you can look back, and the next time you get that gut feeling, you and Kyle have a conversation, and he'll say, hey, this is going to be like so-and-so. We just have to move on. It's not fun. It's not easy, but we know, right, it's not going to kill us either. Let's just agree that this is a bad – this just isn't a fit. They're not going to be happy. We're not happy. Everybody wins. sometimes when you let them go and that was the right play. And so now you've already done, you know, been there, done that. It'll be easier the next time and your business won't lose three, 4, 5 months. So I want to bring that up. You know, we kind of blew through the conversation. You gave your update and that's great, but that's a big deal. So
thank you.
It's a big deal. And then let's talk through these deals. So Tommy sent over a couple deal analyses, that spreadsheet earlier to me today, because I asked for the numbers. They said they had 200 contract, and I said, what do the numbers look like? What's the exit strategy? Now, from what I can tell, you have these things tied up at a really good price, so I want you to talk through the numbers. But what I immediately noticed was fix up on both properties was only $5,000. And so, you know, we don't clearly just give stock answers here in the coaching center. I looked over the numbers and said, hey, you know, it's possible that these houses only need $5,000, but are those numbers accurate? That seems low. And so then Kyle came back and said, hey, from what we know, you think those numbers are pretty accurate, in which case these deals are smoking, right?
Right.
Throw some numbers on the table on these two.
Okay, so the first one so I'm going to give a little disclaimer here.
Yep.
This is why I had Kyle email you back, because numbers in me is like 2-year-old learning to talk. So, but I'm learning it.
Yeah.
I'm overthinking it. So I'm glad that you kind of put me on the spot.
Cool.
So the first deal that we got under contract, they're just tired of these houses, and they've been working on it off and on just at their own pace. And we come at her with a few different offers, but she wasn't willing to budge off of $30,000. So we just kind of drilled more questions for her to find out more detail about it. The monthly
yep.
rent in the area is $750. From what we could tell through the outside and just what she's told us, that's kind of where Kyle came up with the numbers that he entered for the $5,000 repair
okay.
cost. And then, let's see, what else are you looking for from me? Sorry. Kind of maybe prime me here.
No, that's okay. Monthly rent. So here's the thing. Let's run these really quick. Let's just run this one. So you have it under contract for 30. What are you
mm-hmm.
looking to sell it for?
I think Kyle said, I think he's going to try to do it for 45, 50.
45. Okay. So I'm just going to go with 45 and you
okay.
think it needs about $5,000. So let's run, let's say, what if $5,000 is the number? And let's say, what if it's not, what if it's more like 15?
Okay.
Here's the thing. If you run it at 5 and 15 and know your numbers and you get a buyer on the phone, you can just say, hey, based on what the seller told us, we haven't seen the place, but based on what they told us, we think it needs about $5,000. If that's the case, here's what the deal looks like. Let's go worst case scenario and say it needs 15. The deal still works. And you can just get that right on the table when you're selling the deal, right, if we
okay.
know the numbers.
Right.
So you're going to move it. You want to sell it to me. I'm your potential buyer for 45. And let's say it needs 5. So that's all in at 50, let's call it. And
uh-huh.
then, what, $1,500 in closing costs. We'll just round up to $52,000. And then you said it rents for $750. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So we're always going to take gross rents and take 30% off the top for expenses. So I'm going to take $750 times 70% is $525. And then there are two numbers we ran, and I ran them before with Malik Steele. Return of cash and your first year return on investment as a percentage. These are the two that all of you, right, the spreadsheet does it for you, but you have to, if you don't have the spreadsheet in front of you, these are the two numbers that you have to know how to run. So here we go. Gross rent times 70%. In this case, 750 times 70% is 5.25. So that's your net monthly rent. And then let's take return of cash. So if I buy this thing at 45, put 5 into it and a couple grand in closing costs, I'm at $52,000. So let's say I pay cash for it today, I come out of pocket, and I'm going to recover my money at $525 a month when it's rented, right? So how long is it going to take? This is return of cash. How long does it take to get my investment back? $52,000 divided by 5.25 is 99 months. Divided by 12, 8.25 years. That's decent. What's really, really aggressive is 5. 5 to 7 years is really strong as a rule of thumb. That 7 to 10 window is good. Some investors will will be okay with a longer return of cash than that. When Rob was building the portfolio years ago, he wanted a 5 to 6 year return of cash that's super conservative, super aggressive. So 8.25, 8.25 years is solid. That's good.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it excellent, but it's solid. Okay, so that's okay. The first one, return of cash. Here's the second one. What is this first year rate of return? So again, our net monthly is 5.25 times 12, $6,300 net year one annual or net income first year, right? Rent the thing for 12 months, make 5.25 net per month. So 5.25 times 12, $6,300. So that's our net annual, and then divide that by what we paid for it. So divided by the 52,000 equals 12.1%. So you could call it, right, so that's a 12 cap or a 12.1 first year return on your money. Again, that's strong. 14 to 20, 20 is really, really strong. Just to give you a 16 to 20 would be considered by most investors really strong. But there are plenty of investors out there who will take, you know, a 10% or greater first year return. And so Tommy, you're just over 12.1%. So those are strong. And you have room in this. I mean, you could bring that price down, and I don't mind you starting at 55 to sell it. Mm-hmm. And then if somebody says, you know, hey, that's a little high, but I'll give you this for it, you've got a little fudge room in there. So I like where you're at.
Okay. Thank you.
What are the numbers on the other one?
And I do have to tell you this. I have to give a little props to the sales guy. We really won big with him. Kyle just kind of turned him loose. And when he talked to Kyle on the phone, he's like, where do you think, you know, the offer should be on this? And Kyle was thinking in his head, you know, we'll take 17. We'll go to 17, but let's offer her 5 or 15. And so when Josiah got on the phone, he said he started at 13.5, and then he got her at 14.5. So he just kind of did that on his own. So that was huge.
That's
for us.
Sweet. That's awesome. And this is why you hire a salesperson, right? Because he's getting paid off the spread. So the better he buys, the more money he makes. And absolutely, first of all, he's a salesperson, so he knows that, like every salesperson does. And then that's cool that you didn't have to tell him to do that. He just did it automatically. Mm-hmm. So that's why you hire salespeople. So that's that's cool. So the second one you have at 14.5?
Yeah. And the rent and and that's 700.
700? So this deal is clearly, I mean, the other one was 750 and you have it for twice as much. This deal is going to be off the chart.
Right.
So what do you want to, are you trying to make 15 on this one?
To be honest, when I did the numbers for today, I just entered it at 10. Yeah, we would like 15, but we're... We're just, I guess, learning, so we're playing it safe a little, I guess.
Right, and this is the one that you also think it only needs $5,000 in work. Let's run a worst case scenario. That how big is the house?
I think it's 1,100. I don't have it right in front of me right now. But
that's okay. So it's not right. It's right around 1,000. I mean, you can do a boatload to this house for $20,000. Okay, so let's just go. Worst case scenario, you have it at 15, let's call it. It's 14.5, but you said you're going to mark it up 10, so let's call it 25. So let's say I'm your buyer, $25,000 purchase price, $20,000 in fix up, so $45,000 and $2,000 in closing costs. So I'm all in at 47, and this thing rents at $700. So 700 times 70% is 490, and then I just forgot my math. 25, and then we got a 20, 40, 47 grand. So 490. So 47,000 divided by 490 divided by 12, 7.99 years, 8 year return of cash. Again, really strong. And this is worst case scenario. So these numbers get. You know, what if it only needs 5 to 10, and that's legit? That number obviously gets better. And then 700 times that 0.7 again is 490 times 12, 5880. divided by 47,000, 12.5% return. Worst case scenario, 8-year return of cash, 12.5% return. Great little deal. And it's probably better than that.
Right.
Because it sounds like it only needs 5 to 10,000 to be a rental. So good stuff. Have you already been on the phone with buyers, or are you having Josiah call buyers? How are you working this?
Well, after talking to you today, I started doing the research that you sent me in the email, but we actually hired another sales guy over
yep.
the weekend, and
we talked
to him yesterday, even though it was Sunday. We didn't care, and put him on the phone to the buyers today. So he started on that today.
Okay, so he has to have the spreadsheet. He has to know how to run the numbers, and he has to help him formulate a little story early on what he's going to say when he's talking to buyers. So he's got to come across credible, all right?
Okay, yeah.
This is like I've used this analogy before, but I've been playing golf for a long, long time. So I can be sitting in a restaurant having a conversation with somebody that says they play golf, and within two or three sentences, I can give you an idea if they're brand new, if they don't know what the heck they're talking about, if they just picked up the game, right? We can with any, and all of you can do this with whatever area you're good at. You can sniff out a newbie and a fraud from a mile away, right? Because they just don't use the right language when talking about golf, right? And so this is no different. When your goal is to talk to legit buyers. Now, your salesperson is not going to be fantastic at it out of the gate, but you've got to equip them, your dispositions person, with some know-how and some language, talk them through it, work with them. Maybe you make a few calls to buyers and let them listen, or Kyle does. Because when they have the language, then the person on the other end is going to say, okay, this individual is legit, all right?
Right.
So help them through that. Teach them the numbers. Here's why these numbers make sense. Or, you know, here's why investors look at them. Those are really the two that landlords run. Rob's focus was on return of cash. Other landlords are more focused on what's the rate of return. Well, know how to run both. So now you're speaking their language. Help them formulate the little story. Hey, here's the deal on this thing, you know. We're selling it for 25 grand. It's a little 1,100 square foot, two bed, one bath. You know, rental comps are at a strong $700 a month. Bam, bam, bam. He's telling the story about the deal. All right?
Got it.
Good stuff.
All right.
Any other questions?
No, I thought I had one more, but if I think of it, I'll send it. I lost my train of thought with it. So
yeah,
I'm good.
Or if you're still on, chime in here in a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah,
all right.
Yeah, if not, send it in. So who else?
Tom here.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing?
Good, you?
Oh, all right. I met with my buyer, I mean my sales guy today.
Yep.
Showed him how to get in. Thanks,
yep.
By the way. That I knew I was missing something, so I got all that. And I'm finally untangling all my leads in Freedom South so I can actually use it. So. I find that's huge.
When's he getting on the phone?
That's taking me today.
Cool.
Yeah,
love it.
It's today. I need to get another bird dog. It's current because I mean, now that I've untangled all my crap, I had a lot of dupes in there because of the way I started out with spreadsheets that wasn't put into Freedom Soft to begin with.
Yep.
Like a bunch of people did, but that really messed me up. But I have like 300 leads, and that's it. And so I'm going to need a whole bunch more because this guy's going to power through it, I can tell.
Yep.
And then I need to find buyers. Got to get on it. So
yeah. So you want to go get some bird dogs active, get a VA ready to go as they come in, and then that'll just be on autopilot, right? Find a bird dog that's willing to drive. That's the system. Leads are going to come in, have the VA start checking, or, you know, say, hey, let's get everything set up. The leads are going to start coming in here this week, and then I will shoot you a message when they're ready to go, and you can start chiming in. And then that gets that. Put a system in place, and then that goes on its own, and then you can focus on buyers.
Right. Let me ask you a question here now. I think this is all set up so that it works this way. Correct me if I'm wrong. The skip tracer can get into FreedomSoft whenever they want, correct?
If you give them permission, they can, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
So basically, I get somebody and I say, every day, check to see if you have any ones that say new. If they have new, skip trace them.
Yep. You got it.
So I don't have to say, I don't have to wait for them and say, you know, oh, by the way, because they're in the middle of the night over there. So they, if they just check every day, they'll be skip tracing every day.
Perfect. If they have time to do that, then yes. That's exactly what you want
them
to do.
Log into these campaigns. And they change it to skip traced call, and my sales guy doesn't have to wait for anything. He just waits for him to say skip traced call, and then they call.
Yep.
He calls.
And the pie chart updates. So all your salesperson does is log in and say, okay, this many leads, right? The pie chart will change based on status. And let's say that skip trace call seller is blue. They just click on the blue color, and it takes them to the list of the leads that are skip traced and ready to go. And then as they change to a follow-up status, that'll have a different color, so they can go right back and just click on that color in the pie chart. But, yeah, that's it.
So what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to have
– go ahead.
Yeah. I'm going to have some more categories because you have follow-up. I'm going to have one right now that all he's doing is checking out for motivation and not getting him under contract. I think that'll change fairly quickly, but in the meantime, I'm just going to say motivated seller or something like that. And then I'll look for that on mine, and I say, okay, motivated seller, I need to call them. Once that changes, then I want to have something that says follow up and with a timeline, how motivated they think, you know, the salesman will know, maybe we should follow up in 3 months, maybe we should follow up in 6 months. And
right. That's perfect.
I'm starting to understand the
yep.
thing. I'm understanding it finally, this whole thing,
good.
And it's huge for me.
Yeah, once you know how the workflow automation works, you can either use Rob's workflow or just build out whichever one you want, whatever one you and your team.
Right.
And you can, once you're clear in your head, you can build it in 5 minutes. You just
add
a new task and then, yep.
Yeah, the sales guy and I were talking, and he's dealt with a lot of CRM, so he was like, he figured out a couple of things I couldn't figure out. I was like, what the hell? Why isn't this changing? He's like, oh, you got to hit the little, you know, you got to hit the little pencil on that particular line. Oh yeah, right. Okay, I get the logic now, but I didn't see it. He did right away. So we're gonna build it so that I'm gonna say, and I said to him, if you need to change it to make more sense for you, we'll change it for you. You just show me how you changed it and how it works for you, because you're the one using it more than me on that.
I was just going to say, if you have a salesperson that is comfortable with certain statuses and they say, hey, this is what I'm used to, just tell them, hey, watch this video, build a workflow, tie it to your campaign. I'm all for it. Knock yourself out. Just let them go.
Yeah.
If you've got somebody that, absolutely. And then
I'm pretty
you, just say,
guy.
You just say, hey, what's my status where I need to get involved and tie this deal up. For a short period of time before you're making
right.
offers. So.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty psyched about that. So I just need to
Tom,
to really...
you have just to, so we're all clear here, and I'm mostly talking to you, but you have come from, holy crap, I don't think I can talk to a potential salesperson, to hire in some talent, which is a big deal. So I'm saying congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, it's
because
this has been... It's just been ridiculously hard for me.
Hey,
but
everybody's outside of their comfort zone to some extent. Bottom line. But that's the only place any of us go anywhere, right?
True enough.
I mean, that's what you brought us on for. At the end of the day, we're here to expand comfort zone.
Well, you guys are awesome. I got to say, you're totally awesome. And these calls are amazing. And seeing that video that about John getting that deal got me so charged up. It was like,
super John.
It was killer. It was just great to see. You know, it's other people are doing it, and other people that are just like me are doing it instead of. I can always
that's
say,
right.
wow, this guy has exceptional talent, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no.
That's not it.
They're just No, it's just do it. So
that's
anyway,
it.
Thanks.
Everybody is better or more skilled at certain things than others, but nobody comes to the table with just a resume or a skill set that is just fully comfortable with all of it and knocks it out of the park. It's just,
yeah,
that doesn't exist. Everybody's pushing their limits and comfort zone in some area. Right. We just heard Tommy say it's the numbers. She doesn't get along with numbers. That's okay. Right. She doesn't have to be she doesn't have to become an accountant. We're going to get her competent on some numbers, if nothing else, so she can, you know, help work with a salesperson and just get them on the phone. So that, you know, that's everybody has something along those lines that just says, this, you know, I like this piece, but I don't like this piece. Right. Like Hal told us early on. He's like, man, I jumped on the phone and it was a sales call and I love sales and it brought me back to, you know, what I used to do and the adrenaline hit and great. Hal's wired to do sales. Most of us aren't.
Yeah.
So he can fill in on that.
The eye with needles. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Most people don't, you know, the thought of it just makes us cringe. And then you find a salesperson and they just can't wait. Like,
well,
get me on the phone.
Yeah. My sales guy was, you know, he was doing saying all the right stuff, you know, and he was like, okay, so what are my numbers? What am I shooting for? You were talking about a bonus. When does a bonus kick in?
Perfect. That's how they're wired.
Give it to me. I was like, I like the way you're talking, man.
That's
it's just just what Mike said you would be doing if you were a good one, and that's it.
That's why you run the DISC test, right? It weeds out the people who aren't wired like that, and it finds the ones who are. And they salespeople, high D's and high I's, they don't need a ton of instruction. They just say, where are my leads? Where are my phone? Give me a script. You know, coach me a little bit, but they just – it's what they do. It's how they're wired.
He's high C, too. So when I showed him the contract, the independent contractor agreement,
yeah,
he looked through it. He looked through it every line. So I was like, I like that, too. You want to make sure everything's good. So,
that's good because eventually what you want is a trusting relationship where your salesperson can go into FreedomSoft, generate a contract, put a signature on it, and send it.
Yep.
Right? I mean, Chris and the team are tying up deals, and they're not getting Rob and Brad on the phone and saying, hey, here, you know, how does this one look? What should we do? Do you want to send a contract? Not a chance. That's what training is for. They say, hey, guys, we got two more under contract today. Here they are. They're going to the disposition guy. That's how it works.
Right.
And you have trusted people on the team that just tie them up. That's where you want to get to.
Let me ask you one thing. This is for future reference because when you need two or three salespeople and you want one person to manage it, how does compensation work with that? How are they doing that?
Well, it depends on who's involved. So if there are two people closing, if there's like a set close scenario, they typically split the commission. So if they're maxing out at 20, one person has got 10% on the set and the other has got 10 on the close. The thing about it, though, is you can have kind of a sales manager type. And then if you want to, you know, you do all the training, you know, give them a couple percentage point bump on what the team's doing, something like that, or you can just turn out two salespeople and say, here are your leads, here are your leads, knock yourself out. So you don't necessarily have to have a manager type spot. Tom, the thing is, I know you're looking for a really clear answer. That there just isn't a perfect, there isn't a way that says, when you go from one salesperson to two, do it this way.
Yeah.
There's just, that's not out there. It's who do we have? What does the personnel look like? You know, there's no reason you can't just say, hey, here's how this position works. Knock yourself out. I will tell you, though, what I will tell you is as soon as you have more than one, you have to generate a Slack group. And Slack is a online software that's like a team communicator.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at building one internally in FreedomSoft. We just don't have it there yet. But you have to set up a sales group and invite your sales team and yourself, and you have to tell them every time a contract goes on the board, you put it into this Slack channel so everybody can see it. Because you want You want the competition. You want those two competitive salespeople to see what the other one's doing and get that.
Right.
You want them to compete, no doubt. I mean, you want us. You want to set up. Hey guys, you know most contracts by the end of the week got a $100 steak dinner on me, place of your choice, or if they're in town, Capital Grill, or you pick it, Del Frisco's, whatever. But you want that in place, and keep that carrot out there. So you can do that with one too. You can say, hey man, top five contracts this week, and I've got something like this for you. Take care of the rainmakers. Get creative,
yeah.
especially if somebody's good. Find a way to keep them around because they'll just pull gold out of these leads. Keep feeding them. They make the whole thing tick. The salespeople in general.
It's finding the buyers now.
Take good care of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it because now it puts pressure on you. Good pressure, right? Good pressure.
I'm into it, man. Yep. Yep.
Yep. It's good stuff because now you don't want to let this person down, so I'll kick you into high gear. It's good stuff.
I got a full court press now because I know I'm going to get some leads in no time at all.
Absolutely. This guy skilled on the phone and with these leads. He'll turn on deals soon.
Yeah, he knows it. He's like, yeah. You only got 80 leads for me because I have 80 ready for me. Only 80? I said, dude, it takes some time. If it's a no, that's easy. But if it's a yes, it takes more time than just saying, okay, you
got to. So, Tom, here's what you've got to do. You have got to go two-prong approach. You have to run Bird Dogs and get them to one VA that can skip trace. And you need another VA that can skip trace. And you need to export some vacant leads from the FreedomSoft tool and have them both in and tell your sales guy, now listen, the priority, set up two campaigns for them. One of them says Bird Dog vacants. The other one says USPS vacants. You've got two skip tracers simultaneously working both, and you tell them the priority are these Bird Dogs. They're going to be a notch better, but if you have any kind of downtime on these at all, you jump into this campaign right here. Same thing Malik's doing. So you've got to get an ad on Upwork for a skip tracer that says, I have leads for you now, and I'm ready to award this job if you can start immediately in the next 12 hours. Get that posted on Upwork and see if anybody will respond. See if anybody will respond tonight.
Well, I have one already, but so far
okay,
with
if they,
her,
if they don't,
she's not, she's
if they
not
don't
fast.
Have, if she doesn't have leads to skip trace, you can pull them. Here's what you're going to do. Write this down. Vacant house finder. Pull up the Pittsburgh and then click advanced. And you want choose a date range for last sale date. Put in January 1st, 2014. On the first date, and the box on the left, and the box on the right, so through, put in December 31st, 2016. And then go just below that and check out-of-state owner. There's a little box that says out-of-state. You can check that and click search. And then what will happen is it's going to pull them up, and then you can export that entire list to a campaign. So that's going to be step two. I should have started here. Step one is you're going to create a new campaign called Pittsburgh USPS Vacant Leads. All right? Then you're going to run that search in the tool, and then you're going to select the entire list, and there's a little campaign button, and you can move those leads to a campaign, and you're going to select that Pittsburgh USPS Vacants and move them all over there and tell your skip tracer, give him or her permission to see it, and tell them go to work. Start at the top.
Okay. Yeah, I just figured out how to move a bunch into a campaign. I just figured that out, like last time we were talking. So.
As your Bird Dog leads come in, tell your sales guy that that's your focus. But here's he said only 80, so give him hundreds. see if that skip tracer can put in a little time tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get another bird dog, too, because my bird dog is a little bit limited. He's got a real, he's got a job, and then he does them a lot of times on the weekends, but I need more than that. So, and I need somebody a little bit
That's what you have to manage.
My first bird dog was a ditz, man.
Yeah, it's the personnel piece. So
For sure.
You just,
you know,
you just adjust as necessary.
Exactly.
Clearly.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right, who else?
And Mike, quick question. I'm getting ready to purchase the cash buyers list. How far back should I look?
The absentee owner list?
Yeah, absentee owners.
In List Source? Here's what I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll tell you. I'm not going to tell you how much to spend, but the more records you buy, the better your list is when you map it. So you're going to buy that list and then take it over to freemapmaker.com. And upload that bad boy. So Rob spent thank you. EasyMapmaker.com. Rob spent
EasyMapmaker or free mapmaker?
EasyMapmaker.com. And you just copy and paste your data right in there. It has really good instructions on there on how to use it. If you get stuck, let me know. All
right. Now the question I had was how far back should I go? 6 months or a year?
Well, it depends because different cities are going to have a different number of records. So this is what I was going to tell you. The more you buy, the better, but the more you buy, the more expensive. Rob likes to spend $800 to $1,100 and buy, a couple thousand records and map them out. You buy whatever's in the budget, and then you'll have to adjust it. Start at 6 months and then see what that list costs. If you want to spend more, go back and try 12. If you want to spend less, go back and adjust it to last 3 months, and then you can fine tune it by putting in dates if 3, 6, 9, and 12 months aren't getting you where to what you want to spend. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
So once you go to the purchase screen, and then here's the other thing: when you're on that purchase screen before you buy it, you want to select. There are 7 items from that drop-down menu or that scroll menu to the left of the price. So we add in, write these down. Let me try and pull them off the top of my head. Building square foot, bedrooms, bathrooms. They're in alphabetical order, so those are right near the top because they're B's. Bedrooms, bathrooms, building square foot. So now you'll know how many beds, how many baths, and how big the structure is, so square feet. And then we go down to first mortgage amount. That'll tell you if there was any financing. We add in junior one mortgage amount. That'll tell you if there's a second mortgage on the property. And then we add in last sale date down in the L's and last sale price. And so now for every record, bedrooms, bathrooms, square footage, last date it was sold, the last price it sold for, and if there was financing in place with first and second loan. And that gives you a pretty clear picture on what happened with that property, who bought it, how they bought it. I mean, you'll know exactly what they paid, the date they bought it, and how big it is and how many beds and baths.
Right,
Makes sense? And that list, when you map it, now here's the thing in MapPoint. This will make sense when you map it. You can tell MapPoint which piece of data to show over each pin or each little flag that it puts in on every property. And we choose that last sale price so that when we look at an area, when you map it, you can glance around the map in any area and see the price range that happens in that area. Does that make sense? It's a rather technical answer by phone here, which is a little bit easier, obviously, on a computer with images or whatever. So if you get stuck on any of that, let me know before you buy that list because you want to get that list right and then go map it. And that is the killer list. It tells you where to send the bird dogs. It tells your salesperson what to offer, and it tells your dispositions person who to call, right? I mean, that is the data source that'll drive those three phases of the business.
All right, I'm on it right now, so if I get stuck,
okay.
I'll shoot you an email.
Yeah, if you get stuck, don't buy it tonight. Send an email in, and we'll get it right in the morning before you buy it, all right?
Okay.
But don't go back in and have to pay twice for it. Good question, by the way. Who else?
Okay, Mike, it's Tommy again.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know we're right at the hour, but half hour, but I remembered. Let me break this down. I know you said IntelliS, somebody told you that it pulled about 65%. So that's what I've been using. But I have one skip tracer that's using LexisNexis, which obviously you guys said 85%. So I've called them to try to get an account with them, but they've, because of some regulations, they're like a 3-week wait before they can sign anybody else up on the real estate side. But then, have you ever heard of LandVision?
I haven't.
Okay. Well, this skip tracer is using LexisNexis and LandVision, and I just happened to caught a glimpse of it because him and I were on a Skype video because we were going over some things, and he says that he used it for another client of his, and it's one of the top performing. So I've contacted them, but it's more of like a real estate zoning and different things, but they did have something in there for locating properties. So I was going to look into it, but I just didn't know if you had had anything or heard anything on it. And if it was beneficial. Okay.
I haven't.
Okay.
No, I've always heard the top, kind of the top ones are Lexis, TLO. TLO is TransUnion. I mean, they're a credit bureau. They, you know, they know all about us. TLO is really specific on who they allow to use it. And they say you specifically can't use it for marketing and that kind of thing. So that takes us to Lexis. I tell you what, if at the end of the day, if you have somebody with IntelliS, and that's who's available, and you need leads skip traced, have them work them. If they can't find data, you can in the workflow automation piece, you can set up, you can create a workflow or a status called needs a re-skip trace or no data found re-skip trace, something like that. So if IntelliS doesn't work, you could do that. And then once your TLO person is lined up, say, hey, go back and check these out for me. We couldn't find any data from another source. So you could just do it that way and go with what you have. I mean, Rob's business is, you know, they're doing great. And they're running IntelliS, and PeopleSmart is their plan B if IntelliS doesn't pull data.
Okay.
So they're not using Lexis at all, and they're doing just fine.
Okay, and I just want to put this out there. I don't know if anybody's in the same area that we launched in, but I have 3 bird dogs that I have on hold right now because I have too many leads, and so I don't know if anybody's there, but I would love to refer them to them if they want because they're fabulous. So I just wanted to put that out
there. You're in Tulsa, right?
Right.
Yep.
So I just want to put that out there.
I'm hoping to have that problem. That's a problem I'm hoping to have.
I'm pretty sure Quinn and Josh.
I wish I heard. I'm like a couple hours too late as far as the TLO thing. I called them today inquiring about a membership, and they had a free trial ready for me. And as soon as he asked me, what's your business? I said, real estate. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. And we can't, you know, we can't give you membership as far as skip tracing for marketing purposes. And then he just hung up. I was like, man.
Yeah.
That's rude.
We stay away from them instead of just, you know, lying to them and not being upfront. We just say if somebody has TLO, like a VA has access to it. I know a few people who are using them, but we don't set up with them because of that reason. They're going to say play by this rule, and we just say that's fine. There are other options out there. So
yeah.
I think they focus on the debt collection side of the business. For whatever, you know, whatever, that's their niche. But yeah, Lexis, and you know, like I said, even at 55 to 65% through IntelliS, and Rob's using PeopleSmart, which I think, I don't know that it's free, but I don't think it's very costly. And that, you know, they have 3 sales guys busy, and you know, a dispositions guy that's running, and they have. You know, they've gotten more under contract in the last few days, but when I was talking, I think it was last Wednesday, I was talking to Brad, they were currently working 19 deals that were either being marketed for sale or under contract. You know, they, I think they closed three last Friday. So they're just in a multiple deal per week, you know, getting contracts under or getting contracts, you know, almost on a daily basis, averaging contracts daily and using, you know, Elias as their primary. So no need to lie to TLO and tell them that this is what you're doing. Just use a different service that allows it. That's how we do it. Anybody else? All right.
Mike.
Yeah, who's that?
Quinn.
Quinn?
You there?
Ben.
Yes, sir.
Quinn?
I'll be quick.
Yeah.
Yes,
hey.
Sir.
What's
hey.
Up?
Not much. A little thing for the folks getting started. iOS 11 came out with a screen recording now, so you can actually record whatever you're doing on your screen and send it to your VA. Something I thought would have helped us a few months ago.
Nice. Yeah, we use, on the computer, we use Jing, J-I-N-G, yep. And you can record five-minute videos for free. But, yeah, if you're looking to train somebody on a quick little process, that's a great way to do it. So now I upgraded to iOS 11, but I haven't tried that. That's cool.
Yep. And we had we had the two folks that started this week or whatever.
Yeah.
And we met all last week and worked like 12, 14 hours a day making phone
yep.
calls. So.
Yep.
Josh has the metrics, but you know I don't keep up with the numbers to get stay out of the weeds of it. But we got I know that we had, you know, we were making like five offers a day, and that we got five accepted offers on Thursday and Friday total, or Friday and Saturday.
Love it.
And one contract back already. So
nice.
But that's all I want to say about that. So.
That's awesome. Killer update.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you go to the phones, you get the right personality on the phones with these leads, and it's raining here in Denver, so prepare for the rain in your business.
Right. Yep, definitely.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, guys. Awesome. Awesome. I know where you guys want to go, so
yep.
You threw a big goal out here prior.
Yeah, got to go. Time to get it. Yeah, I found my email where I sent it to y'all at the very beginning, so nothing's changed of our
cool.
goals.
Yep. Love it. Yeah, good update. Who else? Five, they hit the phone, put in the time, made the calls, five contracts in 48 hours, basically, Thursday and Friday. And that'll be... You know, keep the salespeople consistently on the phone, and that'll start to be the norm.
Yeah.
Five a week, 5 to 10 a week. So, yeah.
Yep.
Good
yep.
stuff.
That's the plan. All righty.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you.
Anybody else? Okay. Great conversation, you guys, as always. We got a lot of things popping, so I'm excited for everybody. A lot of team high fives going down here. Thanks for checking in. Make it a good couple days. We'll chat again Thursday. Obviously, any questions in the meantime? We've got some, you know, a few things coming in. Hussein, some questions. Malik, if you have any questions on that process, let us know. You know, to reiterate, as soon as questions come up, everybody, you've got to get an email in right away. All right? Don't chew on something for any length of time or try and figure it out. The whole point of hiring us is so that we can shortcut trial and error and say, do this, don't do that, put in this piece, don't focus on that, don't worry about that, right? So that's going out to the group. As soon as a question comes up, you've got to get it in so we can get it off the table, get an answer your way, and keep this thing moving. And, you know, if you'll do that, it's simple. You're not bugging us. That's what we're here for. Just get the questions in. All right. We want to be here to support the effort. You know, we want you guys moving towards your goal of getting in the middle of deals, getting transactions closed, right? And then we jump on the phone, you get what you want. We jump on the phone, you know, find a time and record a testimonial about what's going on in your business and that kind of stuff. And that's how we both get what we want out of this. So as soon as those things come up, send them in. That's it. Great call. Great conversation. Have a good afternoon or evening, wherever you're at. We'll chat soon. And great job, everybody.
Thanks, Mike.
Again, Mike.
Yep, take care.
Thanks, Mike.
Yep, see ya.